the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
So a couple of weeks ago, we covered individual tax planning. Today, we're going to discuss what retirees and businesses need to do when it comes to planning for this year. So, Jim, with that said, what are the key things that you're looking at from a tax planning perspective for 2022?
Well, I guess, Chris, there's a little bit of good news. They raised the standard deduction for 2022 from $25,100 to $25,900. Now, it isn't much, but there's an additional $1,400 per person as a married couple. So $2,800 additional standard deduction if you're 65 and older. So the standard deduction goes to $28,700. And that could be helpful, Chris, because a lot of retirees are living in homes that are paid for. Maybe they, you know, bought a house 30, 40 years ago. They no longer have a mortgage. So the standard deduction is going to help. Now, there's something else that also went into effect. And this gets a little complicated. In 2020, Congress suspended required minimum distributions from retirement accounts. They did not extend that for 2021. Now, there's two rules here, depending on your birth date. If you were born after June 30th, 1949, the required minimum payouts from these accounts begin in the year that you turn 72. If you were born before June 30th, 1949, you still have to withdraw at age 70 and a half. So, you know, depending on your age and what your birth date, there's two different withdrawal times, either 70 and a half prior to 1949, age 72 after 1949. Now, let's talk about some other things that are going to affect you in terms of taxes. One of them is going to be charitable transfers. One of the things you can do, if you are fortunate, you can actually give, for those that are 70 and a half or older, you can donate $100,000 to a charity. So let's say you have a large IRA, you have to take a required distribution that would be $100,000, or you don't even have to be a required distribution. You could take $100,000, give it directly to your charity. And so, you know, obviously you're not going to get a deduction for that because you're just not going to pay taxable income. Other things that may affect you. The one great thing is the estate tax exemption remains in place. Right now, it's roughly going to be $12,060,000 for 2022. Multiply that times two. Now, remember, I need to point out that this figure goes away after 2025. All of Trump's tax benefits go away. They get sunsetted in 2025. So in 2026, we're going to go back to the Obama exemption, which was roughly about $3.6 million. Index it for inflation. We may get up to maybe $5 million. So just bear in mind that this goes away after 2025. Now, let's talk about the tax brackets. We covered that last week. And Congress in 2017 passed a special inflation rate in which they index the tax brackets. And you guessed it, the inflation rate is a lot lower than the regular inflation rate. So, you know, the idea is you would index the tax brackets so people wouldn't get bumped into higher brackets with inflation creep. However, they're lowering the rate of inflation that they use to calculate that. Here's another thing that's very important for retired married couples. The year of death is the last one for which a couple can file jointly. The surviving widow can retain the benefits for up to 2 years of the spouse's death when they file as head of household. However, surviving spouses, and we call this the widow's penalty, they could find themselves in a higher tax bracket as a sole survivor, even though they may have lower income. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose a couple had $225,000 of taxable income and a top tax bracket of 24% for 2021. One spouse passes away, the surviving spouse's income drops because remember, you lose one Social Security check when a spouse passes away. the survivor has the ability to take the larger of the two. So let's say the husband passes away first. His Social Security was larger than the wife. The wife can lose her Social Security and then take her husband's. It's one of the reasons why when we're doing financial planning, we like to see as much as possible not taking Social Security to age 70, especially for the husband, because more likely the wife is the survivor. And when she gets down to only one Social Security check, you want it to be the higher Social Security benefit out of the two. However, in this case, let's say that you had $225,000 as a married couple. The following year, the income is $180,000 for the survivor. Now she goes from a 24% bracket to a 32% bracket for 2022, even though she got 20% less income. So that's what we call the widow's penalty, and you really have to watch that. Let's talk about something else. When one spouse passes away, depending on which state you live in, now there's roughly, I think there's about 9 or 10 community property states. The advantage of a community property state is when one spouse passes away, all of the assets get stepped up to market value. So whether it's stocks, it's home, real estate property, it gets stepped up so there is no estate taxes. When you live in other states, only half of the estate gets stepped up. So let's assume, let me give you an example. Let's say you bought Tesla, you bought $100,000 worth of Tesla. Now that stock is worth $500,000 or $600,000. If you live in a community property state, one spouse passes away, the market value of Tesla is $500,000. That becomes the new cost basis. The entire stock gets stepped up to market value. Versus if you were in a state that wasn't community property, it would only get stepped up on half of that. So you would get a step up on $250,000. And then you would have your original cost basis of another $50,000. So it would be $300,000. So the advantages of living in a community property state is it's easier to eliminate capital gains on appreciated property. Now, one thing that has, there's a break here, and this is important, especially for a lot of you that are getting close to retirement. Maybe you bought that house. You know, Chris, our definition of a millionaire in California is a homeowner. So let's say you live in California, you bought a house for, well, I've got a friend of mine that bought a house for like $300,000. It's now worth $1.5 million. You can get a $500,000 exemption as a married couple on capital gains on a home, $250,000 if you're single. However, that $500,000 exemption has been in place since the early 90s. They have not indexed that to inflation. So that's why a lot of times the step-up basis and cost is very, very important, because it can eliminate capital gains. Maybe their surviving spouse wants to move out of the house after, let's say, her husband passes away. So that's very important.
Jim, a recurring theme that we've had on Lifetime Planning here with many of your different tax experts and financial planning experts is just how often we see changes from administration to administration. As you said earlier, Trump's tax changes under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that's going to sunset in 2025, meaning we go back to Obama-era tax laws in 2026. But as many of our listeners know, there is going to be 2022 midterm elections coming up, and I'm looking at the predicted market odds right now. At this point, predicted is, at least the bettors on predicted are predicting, a massive red wave. Republicans taking over the Senate, taking over the House. So if that were to occur, if we were to see, you know, a massive red wave, you know, with the pendulum swinging in the opposite direction, we saw a blue wave, of course, under Biden and the last election. If we were to see a red wave, are we looking at perhaps those Trump tax changes staying in place for longer, or even more changes for retirees and business owners?
I still think you're going to see some changes. You know, they might want to give some tax breaks, but Chris, they would have to have a majority in both houses to overcome a presidential veto. So more likely, would they get massive majorities to overcome a presidential veto? I don't know what the odds are, but I don't think so. So the best that we can say here is Biden's anti-small business tax bill did not go through when he had that Build Back Better. It would have really just clobbered, and I mean clobbered, small businesses. One of the first that they were talking about is right now there's a C Corp. If you have a C Corp, the tax rates were lowered from 35% to 21% under Trump. Now, if you have an S Corp, they gave you a 20% deduction, which the idea behind it was to give you the same benefit that a C Corp had. Biden would have done away with that. So fortunately, that didn't go through. So right now, everything is pretty much status quo, Chris, and I think that's going to be the case. However, there are a couple things that are being phased out. Interest cost and capital equipment. So changes starting in 2022, many businesses will be required to amortize their research costs rather than deduct them immediately. So unless both parties are in favor of repealing or delaying that change, but so far they haven't done anything because of all the, you know, the bickering that you see going on in Congress. Another thing that is going to affect larger corporations is they're going to put limits on deducting their interest cost under some new formula. We don't have that formula in front of us, but just bear in mind, large corporations are going to make it more difficult to deduct interest. Something else that's going into effect, a provision of the 2017 tax law allowed a 100% deduction for companies that purchase capital equipment, that will start phasing down. After this year, the benefits start declining so that there is a first-year deduction worth only 80% in 2023, 60% in 2024, 40% in 2025, and 20% in 2026. So they're phasing out this ability to make these deductions and get a complete write-off. And that's pretty much it for small business. However, a couple things that you have to take a look at, and these keep coming up. The SALT deduction, there was talk that they were going to repeal that. So far, there's no momentum on that. For high-income taxpayers, they want to raise a 5% surtax in addition to raising the tax rates back to 39.6%. Add a 5% surtax plus add the 3.8% surtax on investment income on over $400,000. And you could see where if you're fortunate enough to be in those upper income brackets, the government is going to take roughly about over 50% of what you make. Throw in state taxes like California at 13.3%. And maybe, you know, the government makes 65%, you get to keep 35%. And I just hope that doesn't pass because that would literally kill the economy. So what can I tell you? Two things you're going to have to look forward to. We are in an era of inflation. If you listen to last weekend's show, we talked about Charles Goodhart and his demographic book. He says we're going to be in an inflationary environment for the next two decades. So you're going to be dealing with inflation. And the government is not going to be increasing those tax brackets, whether it's at the estate level, whether it's on Medicare tax. Because remember, depending on your income, you pay different Medicare premiums. There's six brackets for Medicare. Now, they're supposed to be indexing these. But remember, they're now using a special inflation rate that is much, much lower than the actual inflation rate. So you, as a retiree, are going to be facing higher taxes at the income level, higher taxes on the Medicare level, higher taxes on selling a home. All those things are going to be going into effect because of inflation. And if you are a business, it's going to be kind of hard. You may want to take advantage of this $12 million exemption, particularly if you have a business that's worth a lot of money. You want to pass it on to your children or your heirs without the government confiscating the business through death taxes. This is why you need to do some planning with that exemption until 2025, because I don't think, at least I don't think the Republicans would want to lower the exemption. So those are two things to keep in mind. Taxes and inflation are something you're going to be dealing with this entire decade. So you might want to take that into consideration in doing your planning. Talk to one of our advisors, especially on the widow's penalty. I see this over and over. It's the saddest thing, Chris. the husband passes away, the wife will lose her Social Security benefits because she'll take her husband's Social Security, which is larger. And this is why, as much as possible, when you're planning on Social Security, if one spouse can take, let's say the husband, postpone Social Security to age 70, it's going to go up by 30%, 32%, basically 8% a year. That way, it'll be a larger check for your surviving spouse. So you want to take advantage of that as much as possible. Any kind of estate planning. One of the things that we use is we use something called a disclaimer trust, which allows you to split the trust in two if one spouse passes away, if they lower the exemption. But if they don't lower the exemption, then you just keep it in one trust and avoid all that paperwork and all the tax ramifications. But remember this, as a surviving spouse, chances are you're going to go into a higher tax bracket, even though you're going to have less income, because you're going to lose one Social Security check. One thing you could do is, for example, the wife, when she gets full retirement age, she can take her Social Security and she can start it at her age. Husband defers his Social Security to age 70. And then the wife at age 70 can kind of look at what's her Social Security compared to half of her husband's and make the switch at that time. But Social Security planning is very important. Here's another one that will get you too. Let's suppose that you were fortunate and you made some good stock investments and you have huge capital gains. And all of a sudden you take those capital gains in 1 year and it pushes you into a higher Medicare bracket for that year. There's nothing you're going to be able to do about it, because if your income goes into those brackets, you're going to pay it. But you need to work with Social Security and say, hey, that was a capital gain, one-time event. I don't expect that for this year. Here's my regular income. So you talk to Social Security. I had a client, we had to fight Social Security for 3 months because she had capital gains in 1 year that were kind of like a one-time event. And so she got hit with a higher bracket for that year. And then the following year, we had to argue with Social Security to bring her back down to what it would normally be. So those are the main things. Just bear in mind, every administration in my entire 40 years in the business has changed the tax laws. And I don't expect that's going to change. So what you're going to be dealing with, Chris, it's amazing. We're coming full circle. I got into this business when oil was going from $2.50 a barrel all the way up to $40 a barrel. Inflation was 14.5. Interest rates got to 15.5. I don't see interest rates going up that high because of the debt and financial repression. But taxes and inflation are going to be the two biggest issues you're going to be dealing with the retiree this decade.
If any of you listening aren't aware, Financial Sense Wealth Management provides comprehensive financial planning services covering everything from retirement and taxes to executive and business planning. We do it all, including asset management, and have been named as one of the top 300 investment advisory firms in the U.S. by the Financial Times. So, as always, if you'd like to get more information on any of the topics we discussed today and how to plan around them for this year and beyond, especially in light of the very high inflation rates we see today, you can give us a call at 888-486-3939 or go to financialsense.com and click where it says Contact Us.
Well, that's pretty much it. We will have some extra shows coming up. We might get some more tax planning shows that come in, because a lot of people are saying, well, how in the heck do I plan if every 4 years they're changing the tax laws? And we'll talk more about that in the future shows that are coming up here, taking us up to April 15. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Sheridan and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.